2 Timothy chapter 2. Second half. Part 2. Second half of the chapter. Father, we just praise you and thank you that when we gather together, you're right here. And that your word is always good. Your word is always timely. Your word is always on time. And we just ask you tonight that as we study your words, we open the word of God, the Bible. We thank you that we open it up because our hearts are desiring to hear from you, to know what you are bringing to us, to know what you have done. And so, Father, we thank you that as we open the Word of God, that we will be changed. Our outer man will come in line with our inner man because we avail ourselves of this truth. And you said the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. Now, here we are in your Word, and we don't understand it. We don't have a clue. We don't know how to open it and how to read it. We can't even turn it right side up. Don't know what to do. But I thank you that you open it to us, open the scriptures to us so that we know and we hear and we see what the Word of God is saying to us. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for
trusting me. Amen. The Word of God. 2 Timothy. We should be on it. I should put you on that page. All right. Let's see here. Make sure I was... Okay, we're starting at verse 14, okay? We're starting at verse 14, all right? We'll just remind ourselves of one of the major verses last time, and it was verse 4, that no man, no one that goes to war entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So... And as we'll continue further, but that right there is so important because it separates us from this world, you see? Because when you're in the Army, it's kind of like the little song they sing, you know, in the movies, you're in the Army now. You know, in other words, you're not your own. You're in the Army now. You're not your own. You're not part of this world anymore. You're part of the Army. That's a different environment. You don't get to go and come as you please. You don't get to decide whether you feel like getting up or not. You don't get to decide what you think about the thing. You go according to what your commander says about the thing. So, in other words, no matter what I feel about a thing, no matter what I think about a thing, I go according to what God says about a thing. Amen? Because, you know, I can have all... Well, I feel like I want to have some ideas about what's going on in my life. No, let's find out what God says about what's happening in my life. That's what's true. That's what matters. Only what He says. What I say, what I think, doesn't matter. What he says, what he thinks, that's what matters. Because I've been bought with a price. Amen?
Amen.
I've been bought with a price. He owns me. I'm owned.
Well, I thought Christ set us free.
Yeah, he did. He set you free to do the will of God. He set you free to hear him and to follow him. Because you were in bondage and you were dead and you were being killed. You know, well, we feel like we're being killed today. Yeah, but the fact is that we're alive. In Christ, we're alive. Yet, Paul said, you know, I die daily. I die daily. It's true, because we get persecuted daily. We get beat up daily in our outer man, right? We do. But then we come back here and find out exactly what God says about us. What God says about me. Amen? Yes. That's it. That's it. That's all there is. You can't live your life any other way. I mean, you can... think of living it some other way, you're just going to be miserable. If you know that God loves you, and that even though you're in trouble, that He is going to see you through the trouble. That is truth. That is your joy. That's why nobody can get you down. It's because you have hope that no man can take away. No man can take your hope. Even if they kill you, well, I'm going to kill you. You know, well, fine, kill me. I'll be with Jesus. I'm already dead now. You can't kill me now and you can't kill me later. I mean, you could stop my body and stop my mouth, but that doesn't make any difference. You know, somebody else will jump up. Somebody else will take my place. Okay? So, nobody, you entangling means you're just tangled up. It's like the Word of God that doesn't do anybody any good in Mark chapter 4. You know, the one that says the cares of this world, which is what they said, the entanglements. The affairs of this, the cares of this world choke the word and make it of none effect. They choke it. choke it out. All right? Well, okay, let's look at chapter 2, verse 14. All of these things that he's talking about, he says, of these things that we're going to suffer persecution, that you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. If we live with him, if we're dead with him, we'll live with him. These are the basic doctrines of the church. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Talking about the sons of God, the church, the members of the church. Put them in remembrance. Now listen, it's very important to put yourself in remembrance. It's important for me and Pastor Jim to put you in remembrance. You got to be reminded of these things. Why? Because, like I said, every day we ended up being entangled in stuff. Stuff comes up in my face, you know, gets all over me. Somebody throws an egg in my face. Somebody throws, you know, hatred in my face, anger in my face. Well, what'd you do that for? Or, you know, all this kind of stuff. And you must be put in remembrance of these things. There's another chapter. I don't know where it is right this minute. Maybe it's in Philippians. I know we've talked about it. It's about three times in one chapter he talks about putting you in remembrance, in remembrance, in remembrance. That is, you're always being reminded. Remind yourself of these things. Remind yourself that you're filled with joy. Oh, I forgot. Remind yourself that even though you're persecuted, you walk in peace. Oh, I forgot that too. I just keep forgetting. I just get my feelings hurt and I do. Don't you? Yes. You know, when people come along. But I remind myself over there in the Psalms. David encouraged himself in the Lord. We're going to kill you and all you people. Oh, man, golly. You know, he's crying. But all of a sudden, he went, wait a minute. Slaps himself in the face and says, wait a minute. Slaps some cold water on him. No, I encourage myself in the Lord. You've got to have enough of this in here to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? You're not pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. You're pulling yourself up by the Holy Ghost. You've got the Holy Ghost. Remember, he told Timothy, stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. Stir up the gift. Well, there's a gift down there. It's just sitting in the bottom of the pot getting cooked. Stir it up. Bring it up to the top of the pot. Stir up the gift that's in you. When you start swearing and getting angry, stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. Amen? When the enemy comes in and just is wrangling you and grabbing you by the throat and showing you what he's going to do with you, stir up the gift that's on the inside. There is a gift that I have, and I must stir up the gift that's on the inside of me. Of these things, put them in remembrance. That is, the body of Christ, the body of the church. Put them in remembrance. He's talking to Timothy, how to be a good pastor. You put them in remembrance. How to be a good brother or sister in the Lord. Is you can listen to as somebody is sharing with you their trouble. You have mercy and you have compassion on them. Amen? Amen? But then you also at a certain time, you bring it to a place where you remind them, you encourage them in the Lord. Amen? Because that's the answer. The answer is that you're to encourage in the Lord. That's finally the answer. Because we can't answer all questions. Amen. We do. Amen. Because we love one another. The scripture says two things. Over in Galatians, it says, bear one another's burdens. That is, be available. But three verses later, what does it say? It says, but every man shall bear his own burden. So in other words, it's you, when you see somebody with a burden, you should take it up with them. But on the other hand, the person with the burden should also say, no, it should also say, hey, I'm going to take up this burden. I'm going to remember. You know, once you have helped them with that burden, then you want them to be reminded and be able to help the next person. Amen? Because they're going to run into somebody in the same boat. Amen? Huh? Because we're one body. Somebody's going to be down when somebody's up. And there's not. And it's just because we forgot, because there were things that just ran over us. That's okay. Let's just get back up again, because that's where the devil wants to keep you. He wants to keep your neck under his foot. Is by keeping you where you don't remember what God said. What God said. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them. That's a pretty strong word. That's like finger in your face. Charging them. Now listen here. Charging them before the Lord, or commanding them before the Lord. It's a command. Amen? These are commands that are given. Pastoral commands. Anybody like those? Pastoral commands. Those are mean pastor. No, it's good pastor. I'm a mean pastor. Yeah, Pastor Jim, he's meaner than I am. People don't like him. They don't like to talk to him. He's mean. People don't like to talk to me. I'm nice. I'm learning how to be mean. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. That they don't. People don't argue about stupid stuff. People get into stuff with each other. You know, about, well, I think it's this way, and I think it's that way. Well, just never mind. It's no way. You know, quit thinking, quit chattering about so much nonsense. There's people talking about angels, how many angels on the head of a pin, or such other things that sound more important than that, but they're really not. Amen? What's important is, have you confessed your own sins? That's what's important. What's important is, are you worshiping God? Not, you know, I think we ought to do this. Put up red bows on the thing instead of green. Be quiet. Yeah, that's what I mean. See, we just go on for hours, you know, about nothing. Somebody said that. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words that are unprofitable, but only to the only profit is it subverts the hearers. It turns them down a rabbit trail, down a path of no blessing, down a path of no profit. In other words, all these arguments, what they do is take up your time. Exactly. It's just taking up everybody's time. But rather, I'll stick these words in here, but rather, verse 15, study to show yourself approved. So don't go over there and be talking about all this stuff. Rather, you study to show yourself approved. He's talking to Timothy, but he's also is applicable to you and me because we have the ability. We have the Word of God in front of us. They didn't have it like this. They had the one letter. I mean, this is the one letter that we're reading right here. They had one copy of it. Maybe they made a few copies. Now we've got them all down at the bookstore. We can get a bunch of these. Everybody can have one of these. Everybody can have one of these Bibles, and you can study to show yourself approved. Yeah, well, we're talking about us right now, you know. Let's talk about us. Study to show yourself approved to God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't just, you know, make it up. Now go in there, study it out. Go from the front to the back. Find out what he's saying. But shun profane and vain babblings. Yeah, that's it. That's a different translation. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more, or increase to more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker, as a sore, as a, you know, one of these, like a cancer, really. Of whom, oh, now he's going to name names. These profane and vain babblings increase to more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a cancer. Of whom, for example, is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. Well, wait a minute. In other words, they're saying not the resurrection of Jesus is past. They're saying the resurrection of the church is past. Right. They're saying the judgment, Jesus has already come. What they call preterism. 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 P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-M. That means Jesus already came back. Well, that was even in this day. I mean, we talk about people preaching preterism today. I mean, imagine they were preaching it before the New Testament was even completed. They were preaching it in Paul's day, back in the 60s. Well, it just means preterism is just a teaching that the resurrection of the dead that has already occurred. In other words, Christ has already returned. Yeah. Well, it's no. So concerning the truth, they've erred, saying the resurrection of the past. Or I don't see how people can teach that, because, I mean, here it is, and Paul's talking about it right now. You know, well, I guess I figured, well, it's happened since then. But we know that it hasn't. Because it said Jesus Christ, when he comes, is going to be as coming as the lightning is from the east to the west. I don't think we've seen that yet. And he's going to rule the world for 1,000 years with an iron hand, with a rod of iron. No, I don't think Jesus has ruled the earth yet. Nevertheless, okay, wait. Concerning the truth of Herod, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And overthrow the faith of some. You can overthrow the faith of some by your teaching. You remember what he said? Jesus said about the teaching of the Pharisees. He said, if you cause any one of these little ones to stumble, you might as well have be better for you in the last day to have a stone thrown around your neck. And so you'd cast yourself into the sea than to offend or to teach falsely to any of these little ones, not just meaning children, but also meaning those who are young in the faith, to be teaching false doctrine. He says here, they have overthrown the faith of some. You teach false doctrine. You put somebody up there teaching wrong, I mean, you're going to overthrow the faith of some young one in the faith. You can't just put somebody on first base right away. You got to have somebody who's tested. You know, you can't just let somebody get up. You know, they've got to be qualified. Somebody to be qualified to teach. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. Here's the seal. The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, I can't quit sinning. No, you determine by faith to quit sinning. And then you leave the quit sinning up to Jesus. Amen? You determine by faith to quit sinning, and then you leave the quit sinning up to Jesus. The fact is, as we've said here before, you're going to get better by your works? No. But you will outwardly have improved performance just because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, not because you're being a better person for Jesus. Well, I'm going to do good for Jesus. That's right. We can do nothing. But here it says that everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, how am I going to do that? I can't. I can't. Without the Holy Ghost empowering me, I can't do it. Right? But I know that I have the Holy Ghost. Well, I just can't quit sinning. No, I believe I have quit sinning. Not meaning looking at me outwardly. I'm saying from by faith, I believe that He has empowered me to stop sinning. And I will stop. And I will stop. Well, boom, I did it again. All of a sudden I say I stop. Boom, I did it again. But see, I'm beginning to walk by faith. I got my eye on that thing there at the back, that chair back there. I'm going to go sit in that chair. And what if I fall down right here? You know, Barbara and her new knees. She's going to go sit back in that chair. Barbara, our piano player, she's got new knees. They took out the old knees and put some new ones in down at the hospital. Okay? So, for me, walking back there, that's easy. But for her, walking back there, that's tough. So, I mean, she's got to, it's a long way to that chair, you know. Yeah, it'll get better because she's believing God. Because she's exercising the knees. In our case, we're exercising faith. We're exercising faith. We're exercising faith to not sin. And we're exercising will by faith. It's will by faith. I will to not sin. I will not sin. Now, here comes the temptation. Oops, boom, I fell. Boom, I messed up. So I get up again. I say, no, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that you forgive me. I hated that. I hate that. You know, I my head thinks I like doing it because I'm taking care of myself and I'm feeling sorry for myself and I feel like I haven't gotten everything I need. So I just cared for my little self, you know, and did a little sin there to make me feel better. Had me a big milkshake, you know, or something. Yeah. Yeah. Right. We never, no, nobody should ever have ice cream. No, coffee and ice cream, see? That kind of thing. Yeah, I know, they put them both together and call it coffee ice cream. Wicked person. But you didn't eat it. Oh, mercy. See? Hallelujah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're gonna ask me that now. You start out with God, gospel, faith, repentance, then you then it's, either it's, let's say meditation, happiness. It's meditation going to happiness.
Yeah.
And then it's you. So what you're doing is making a progression by faith, and you're meditating on the truth. It actually starts with God.
Yeah.
You know. You make it like a pitcher, let him make it like a baseball. You remember he made it like a baseball diamond, I think.
Yeah.
At one point, yeah. So God's the pitcher. You know, God, he's pitching. That's the gospel. It's good news. You know, then faith and repentance are right there. You know, you're receiving it. Faith and repentance. They're right together. You repent. You turn, oh, my, here it is. Here's the gospel. And so you receive it, and then you instantly, by faith then, you repent. Then when you've heard that word, then you meditate on that word, that good word. You meditate on that truth that you have been delivered. And then you become happy before you ever do anything. Strong will. Well, okay, I think you're mixing up basically two teachings. But there was a strong will, clear mind, happy emotions. That's what you're remembering.
Yeah.
The strong will, though, comes from meditation. It comes from... let's see here. The study to show yourself proved to God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, so I'm meditating on that. So that's what I'm doing. I'm opening up this word of God, and I'm meditating on this word of God. So that meditation creates a strong will, because my faith is in the word of God. So I'm meditating on the word, that creates a strong will. And then meditating on that also then creates a clear mind. You're not double-minded anymore, you're single-minded. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord if he's double-minded, right? A double-minded man is unstable, James said, in all of his ways. All right? So, but then that ends up with happy emotions. Why? Because you're no longer confused. When you're confused, you're unhappy. You're indecisive. What am I going to do? But clear doesn't mean you know what to do in every circumstance, but clear means I know that God loves me. Clear mind means God's not mad at me. You know, that would be like, you know, the Jesus with the sword and the lily, you know, angry judge, loving God. Which one is he today? No, he's always loving God. To me, he's always loving God. At the end, when he comes and there are those who have not received Jesus. It's only about Jesus. It's not about the good works or I have or haven't done. It's about good works. All the good works of Jesus that came from Jesus, those will be rewarded. The good works that were from me, the good works will be burned up, but I'll be saved. All right? So the rewards are based on the works that were done in the Holy Ghost. That's the only... But that is totally separate. That's the judgment seat of Christ for the church. All that judgment takes place... Is this the right side? Yeah. Okay. All that takes place over here on this side amongst the saints. With Jesus. Here, not you really. You should be over there. Here is the, but for purposes of example, this is the unbelievers over here. Over here.
Yeah.
This row is good. But these are the unbelievers. Yeah, these are the unbelievers. Those are the ones that God, boom, you're gone. You're out of here. Yeah, like a little movie. That'd be great, yeah. Every time you ate ice cream. And every time Margaret ate ice cream. It'd show you that it's only Jesus. That's right. Actually, it's just burned up.
But it will show on the screen.
I don't know all about that. Because it's good. No. No. It's only a sin to eat ice cream if God said, don't eat too much ice cream, you did. That's it. Yeah, that's all.
Well, if we want to, I ask whether you have giant
scoops. All right, we're back to that verse about...
No rules.
We're back to that verse about vain babblings. No more. We're done with ice cream. I know, that's awful. I'll go read this Word of God. We're going to study to show ourselves approved. But no more ice cream. Today. Today. Okay, well then you should have had two. You should have had two. Did you have two? Okay. All right, here we go. Okay, so let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let them. Boy, sounds like there's freedom. Sounds like you're free. Verse 19, last line. And let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let them do that. That is, it's a command, really. That's a command. Let everyone. Every one of you that names the name of Christ, stop sinning. Depart from iniquity. All right, now, that's a command, but again, you can only do that command through what? Through the Holy Spirit. And that is by faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Remember, encourage yourself in the Lord. Put a smile on your face and rejoice. Glory to God. Put a phony smile on. Just paint one on. That's good. Yeah. No, paint one. Go and be like a little clown. Paint a smile on your face. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these what? Iniquities, sins, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, ready to be used by the master. So in other words, put off your sins. Put off your sins. See, he's interested in putting off your sins. Not that so God will be pleased with you, but so that you can be useful. Amen? So the issue is putting off those sins so I can be a useful vessel. In other words, I have a machine that is 1983 model, big videotape machine. The videotapes are about that big. It's called a 3/4 inch. They're about that tall, that wide, that deep. So they're big things. And this machine is old and decrepit. I'm trying to find a guy who will work on it. I found a guy over in Fort Worth, over in Grapevine, who would work on it. He's a long story. But anyway, I found this guy. And so I'm having this machine worked on. I was going to try to start getting some of those tapes, you know, and digitizing them. That is, recording them onto digital tape or onto the computer. But this machine, it won't even, with the thing was supposed to lift up so you can put the tape in it. Well, whatever the motor is, or the rubber is, or the lubrication, or something, and that's what I'm getting to, is like the lubrication. The usefulness of this machine is pathetic. It needs overhaul. And that's like you and me, those vessels of wood and clay. You don't have to be a vessel of wood and clay. You can be a vessel of honor. And a vessel of honor is just one who knows that his sins have been forgiven. Amen? You're the one who know. You know you've been forgiven. You know you're following after Christ. Then there are the vessels who are just under the thing, and they're just convinced that they just can't get free from their sins, you know. And that's not true. I want to yell in a minute. Is it not true? The devil will do everything for you to believe that you cannot get free, that you cannot be joyful, that you cannot walk away from the affairs of this life, even if they're crummy, and know that God loves you and that He will use you and create vital glory through your life, through your existence as a believer. Amen? That's what He's doing. He is in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And there's what God's desire is, to separate you from those though, from that thought life that says, I am useless, like one of these vessels. I'm one of those. No. You don't have to stay one of those. Staying one of those is putting aside the promise of God. The promise of God is that I have designed you, and we're going to read about this in a minute. Or maybe next chapter, I can't remember. But he's talking about that he has designed you for good works. Remember over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to read that for a second. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Mm-hmm. That's right. Very good. Give Margaret a gold star. We are his workmanship. We are his creation. We're his, the vessels that he's created. And he has created us how? And where? In Christ Jesus, unto, for the purpose of, for the finished, for the reason we're created for, is to produce good works. Amen? So he's created us for that purpose, to that end. That's what we're designed for. That we're not, now I'm not just talking about as people and bodies. I'm talking about your creation where in Christ Jesus. Have you been created in Christ Jesus? Say amen. All right then. So what's the purpose that he is going to perform in you? Good works. Everybody say it. Good works. Amen. That's what he's doing. I don't know, I want to talk about that. Because I don't know all that stuff. I don't know if he's going to have a movie camera. He said the books are going to be open. And we're going to be judged. But everybody's going to be judged according to works. All the old works are going to be burned up. And all the bad works are going to be burned up. And all the good works, the ones that are done in Christ Jesus by faith, the ones because he told us to do them, and we did them. And it wasn't me. It wasn't my goodness that did it. It was just his faithfulness through me that did it. Those are going to be the ones that I'll be rewarded for.
You know how it says, it's the word of God, you believe on him.
Yeah, right.
Graven in our mind of how we should be, how it should look like to be a good Christian. They're really bad because it's pictures, you know, that we have. It's not like a clean slate. Right?
In other words, you're checking yourself
yeah,
to see how you look.
It's also like a you have a concept.
A preconceived notion. Here's a preconceived notion of what it is to be a good Christian. Right. Right, exactly, because you're trying to reach a goal and you don't want to reach a goal. Quit reading or don't achieve a goal. Just follow Jesus. Just look at the Lord. You know, don't figure out what you're supposed to, you know, kind of like, okay, draw a picture of what you're supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But another thing I wanted to ask you, and talk about the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, and that. And that sounds fruit, sounds like work.
But he's producing it in you. So what's the fruit of the
Spirit?
It's not the fruit of Margaret. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
But
that's his. That's really it. Yeah, that's really it. That's really it.
That would really freak me because I have this picture of me going out helping all these people, and I can't ever get there.
And it all falls into one of those nine. It all falls into one of those categories. You know, goodness, faithfulness. You know, it's all those things. It's in other words, fruit of the Spirit is what comes out of me in actual outworking toward everybody, toward people, toward through what's the goal is love. What's the love your neighbor as yourself, right? And so through the fruit of the Spirit, that's how those works come forth. And so the fruit that is born of the Spirit, that's what he's looking for. That's the works that are going to be rewarded. That's the works that are not going to be burned up. Everything else, whether and everybody else is going to have the same and the same. If we do sit down and watch a movie on everybody, I think God's going to watch the movie. I don't know that everybody's going to watch the movie. Yeah, let's go watch Jack's movie now. You know, let's you'll be happy to know you got somebody here on this side with you now. Yeah, that's good. And he's one of our best members. Yeah, and he turns out he's over here. Right, left. That's my right. That'd be with Jesus sitting here. That'd be Jesus sitting here on my right. It always depends on how you're looking.
I really remember that it was like it would come from here in your heart. And I was helping the refugees play that. Okay?
Yeah, right.
But then the temptation came, and I was a baby in Christ, and I fell.
Mm-hmm.
I felt
great. No, you just fell.
You fell from being
good.
No, I fell into sin.
Yeah, you fell into sin.
Yeah.
But you were probably proud then anyway. No. Why would they be ruined? No. No, if those works were born of faith, those are good works. Those are works of God. That doesn't negate anything. The only thing that gets burned up is works that are of you. I don't believe those were of you. That was the heart of Jesus doing those works. So there were certain works that are of you. And a lot of certain other works, they're just, you know, they're from Jesus. So we don't worry about it. We're just glad. We're glad he's going to burn up the trash. Right? Isn't it good? It'd be great. I mean, who wants to drag all that into heaven? Well, who cares? You won't care. Because you know the love of God. You know, it's he who has been, she who has been forgiven much love of God. See, yeah, but you want to be, boy, I want to be, hey, here's all the stuff I messed up on. I want to be forgiven of all of it. Because he does, yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly. Isn't that neat how big his love is? And he wants to remind you of that every hour, every second. Amen. It's in the flesh. It's in the flesh.
It's not us.
Not in your new man, and not in your new creation. But that's not all you've got. You've got this thing. You've got this thing, and this thing is never going to improve. It doesn't mean the fruit of the Spirit won't come out of it as you interior are sanctified and grow. But the flesh itself is never going to improve of itself in itself. Even though fruit will show up out of it. Yeah, we're going to be changed. And we'll drop off this thing. Amen? That's right. Everything. You'll look like you, but just... You'll look like you, just better.
No, much better. The way God created.
Yeah, you'll look like Eve when it's all done.
Huh? Like who?
Eve, remember her?
No, Sarah.
Okay, Sarah, whatever. Sarah. I want to look like Adam.
Oh,
go for it, girls.
Stuff?
Yeah, she had no sin. See? Praise God. Yeah, right. You're different Eves, you know. All right, here we go. Now we're back over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Okay. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, that is, sins, iniquities, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified. If a man purge himself from these sins. Now, purging yourself from sins has to do with faith. Amen? Yes. Purging yourself from sin has to do with faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That is, remember we talked about it a while back, is that sin shall no longer have dominion over me. Sing, make up a little song. You know, like I do. I make up little songs all the time. Everybody hates my little song. I'm just always singing some little ditty about some silly thing. I mean, you know, it may be taking out the trash, for crying out loud. I'll sing about it, and the girls will just drive. Dad, quit! Quit! Janet will yell at me. I'll be, you know, it'd be singing a song about, you know, something. Yeah, they don't want me happy. No, they don't look at it happy. They just look at it stupid. Shut up. You know, well, I'll go pick up my Bible and throw it over here and put it in the car. You know, I mean silly stuff. Y'all like me? I hope not. Damn. Jack, you like that? You sing little ditties? I don't want to hear any of yours. You probably don't want to hear any of mine. I just do it to my family. I do. Yeah. Well, I wish I did that, but I'm not quite that. You know, I do, but I'm talking about other stuff. No, talking in tongues is great. Anyway, so let's get back here. So otherwise, we'll talk about that. Get back talking about that meaningless stuff we talked about earlier. I just carry on my own little stories here. Yes, thinking about taking out the trash. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctify, and meet, or ready, or prepared for the master's use, or prepared, and prepared to every good work. If a man purge himself. Now, can you purge yourself from sins? Only by faith. You purge yourself from sins by faith. Clean. Purge. Cleanse it. Cleanse with a Brillo. Clean it with a Brillo pad. Oh, that kind of purge. I think of cleaning a pot with a Brillo pad. Kind of hurts. Yeah. Okay. Flee also youthful lusts. Flee them. Here they are. They're coming up. Boy, you can feel them now. You're old and you're still feeling them. All these youthful lusts. Flee also youthful lusts. But rather, you stick the word rather. But rather, on the other, but instead, follow righteousness, faith, charity, that is unconditional love, God's love, the love of God, peace. Oh, those sound like faith, charity, love, peace, love, joy, peace, patience. Sounds like fruit of the Spirit. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, along with those. In other words, there are others. You're not the only one. Said, along with those others who follow after God, that call upon the Lord with a pure heart. With a what? Pure heart. Who's got a pure heart? You do have a pure heart. That's right. Still true. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Knowing that they produce strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Create arguments. Servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. Must not strive, but be gentle to all men. Now he's talking about pastors as well, but he's also just talking about the servant of the Lord. But here, particularly the servant of the Lord in the context of pastors, but you can always apply these things to your own life because you're the servant of the Lord. But in this case, he's talking about the first verse. It produced those foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they produce strife. In other words, arguments and quarrels. In other words, they just break up the church for nothing, for stupid stuff. But the servant of the Lord must not. So certainly the pastor shouldn't be doing that. But be gentle to all men. Patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now that's real big. That's a good one. I like that's one of my favorite scriptures. How many know there are people who oppose themselves? That is, in other words, they're in Christ, in the Lord, But they've got all these things running around in their mind, all these sins that are bothering them, the affair is back here to the entangles himself with the affairs of this life. We're just in the affairs of this life, and it says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. That is, you oppose yourself when you've been taught the truth, but then you have this experience in your life that is coming back, and the enemy uses it to try to confuse you. And you end up in turmoil, you end up in frustration, and in fact, you can't even believe then, some of them, they just can't even believe that God loves them because they're still in trouble. And somebody else told them, well, if you just quit sinning, you'd quit having trouble. No, that's not true. God didn't promise you that. He just said quit sinning. He didn't say quit sinning, you'll quit having trouble. In fact, you'll probably have more trouble because people don't like people who don't sin. You ever heard of hazing in college? Hazing, you know, this is where they get people to sin so they'll be like the rest of the college. That's why they get people to drink and to have sex and all kinds of things when they move into the college. So they want you to be like them. They want you to be part of their environment. And if you don't, they will shame you. Initiation, they will shame you. Amen? They will shame you. And that's what the world will do. And see, and then, now, here are these people who oppose themselves, is they have been attacked by this world and they don't understand why. Because they've never been taught the truth. I mean, there's so much of this doctrine that goes around and saying, you accept Jesus, your life is going to be perfect. God didn't say that. Jesus did not say that. Jesus said this. He said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Amen. He said that things are not going to be right. He said one thing you are going to have in the world to come, you're going to have eternal life. But in this world, you're going to have persecutions.
You know, I like this too. I've never seen this before, but if they oppose themselves, you know, that's kind of like Jim Jesus about the schizophrenic
analyzing.
Yeah. We're repressing or suppressing
or all that. Right. 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 Basically, you're killing yourself. You're turning yourself inside out to try to be something on your own that God said that you are only in Him. And you're trying to prove it to yourself. You cannot prove this to yourself. You must go into the throne room of God. You must go into the presence of God and just repent, that is, and receive forgiveness from the Lord, not improving by your strength. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But being a people pleaser so that people will like you. And so that you won't have any trouble. I mean, you're opposing yourself because you're believing a lie. The devil has got you running around chasing your tail to try to be something and try to produce something that will never happen. And so you're bound up in your little runaround and you never receive nor understand nor gain by faith the love of God because you're trying to get the love of people. And you think by getting the love of people, you're getting the love of God because, you know, well, if all these people like me, surely God will like me because I'm loving them. Now, you're not loving them. All you're doing is you're selfish. You're trying to get people to like you. Even though you say you have a good work. So many people say they have good works. Well, all their works are about is getting people to like them. To love me. To, you know, say I'm a good person. Forget being a good person. Just listen to Jesus. That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Still, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was offending by myself. Mm-hmm. This is the thing I want to do. I think the most of the And I'm one of the people I suppose is wrong to me. Yes, I am very much wrong. I'm not wrong because God's teaching me that he is going to marry, that he is going to be more.
That's it.
But the only way I can see him is because, you know, he took people away from me.
And then, yeah, and then I come, then you come back and you say, no. You speak to yourself. You know, you say, no, this is not Jesus. This is not from the Lord. The Lord said, when my mother and father forsake me, or brothers and sisters, or anybody, the Lord will take me up. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is the love. He was the hope of my life. You know, and you're always reminding, like David, I said, encouraging himself in the Lord. You don't, be honest, people, listen. You don't have anybody but you. So many people, you know. And even when you have family, I'll be honest with you. You still don't have anybody but you and Jesus. Because family can, or you cannot help them from where they are. You cannot help them. Only God can help them. Because God wants to, He wants this. He wants to put you in a position where you have to trust Him alone. For He wants you, because He knows that's where your life is. That's where your ministry is trusting Him alone. When your children do things that you cannot stop them from doing. I mean, you have stopped them and stopped them and stopped them, and then they still do stuff. You know? And so you have got to give it to Jesus. Sure, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that you can't physically, at some point, you just did nothing, you know, they're just going to go off and do their thing. So every man, every woman has to have that personal relationship with God, and God's desire is that you have it. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctify, meet for the master's use. All right, here we were over here further. Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Such a powerful verse. It's because you have your flesh and the spirit on the inside of you, and they're always at war. And when you're opposing yourself is when this flesh or the unrenewed mind is in dominance. Because you're opposing yourself, because Jesus died to get you out of this world and out of sin, and you decided because of a certain circumstance or something happened that I would live in my flesh for a while, and therefore I'm now opposing my spirit. It's me and me, and I'm having a war. Yes. Yes, that's it. That's exactly right. And those that oppose themselves is when your flesh is dominating over you've allowed, by not putting your hope in the Word of God, you've allowed the flesh to dominate the spirit. And those are those who oppose themselves because they're now believing the lie and no longer believing the truth. And they need somebody in the church to beat them up. Like me. Yeah, right, exactly. And so we just want to get you back on the right track, right? We want to get you to stop opposing yourself. Amen? To remind you of the truth. Study to show yourself. That's right. You got it. You're in command. That's a good thing. Yeah, no, but it's a good thing, a good way to say it. It's you in your spirit am in command over your flesh. You dominate the flesh because of your spirit, but it's only the Holy Ghost. It's not, you know, because your spirit man is only alive because of the Holy Spirit. Sure. Yes. Yeah, because that thing's, you know, burned up. We're burning that guy up. No. Like he's just hating. It's like Paul said. It's the thing that is in me. You know, I hate that thing. I don't want that thing. The thing that is I'm at a straight, no, that's wrong scripture. That's the one where he wants to go to be to heaven. He says, Romans chapter 7, you know, he says, man, you got a wife like that, she's going to remind you of the scriptures, brother.
What?
Get a wife like that, she's going to remind you of the scriptures. Said, say here, here it is. For that which I do, I allow not, or I don't want to do. For what I want to do, I don't do it. But what I hate, that's what I do.
The story of my life.
Yeah. It, well, it must be you and Paul are good buddies.
Oh, yeah.
I then, if then that I do that which I don't want to do, I'm saying the law is good because I'm disobeying it and it's good. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For it, to will, to want to, is right here with me. That's the will of God. That's my will. The will is present with me. But how to do it, how to perform that which is good, I can't find a handle in here to pull, get out to pop the chute and look good. You know, I'm sitting there falling to the ground, and I can't find how do you get the thing? You know, I'm falling to the ground. For the good which I want to do, I don't do. But the evil which I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now, if I do that which I don't want to do, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Oh, there's a good division here. There's a division here. I find in a law that when I would do good, I want to do good, here's evil right here. Don't do it. Do me instead. Do evil instead. No, I wanted to do good. No, don't do good. Don't kill him. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law, that is in my spirit, see. That is, but I see another law in my members, in my body, warring against the law of my mind, that is my renewed mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. No, help! Basically, it's kind of like, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Here it is. I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
You still thank God through Jesus. Jesus is God.
That's right.
So I thank God
through Jesus Christ. That's right. I thank God through Jesus Christ. In other words, by the means of Jesus Christ, I'm free. Okay? And then it goes on to say there's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Boom. And there's no condemnation when we walk according to what we know is truth in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. If we're walking according to the flesh, we're thinking that the flesh has ability to help us, and then we get in condemnation. But if we walk with total faith in the Holy Spirit, disregarding what the failures of the flesh, then there's no condemnation. The condemnation comes when we put hope in our flesh. He's not saying there's no condemnation if you're not, just as long as you're walking in the Spirit. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying there's only no condemnation, and if you do walk in the flesh, then you're condemned. That's not what he's saying.
8:1.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying this, if you put your hope to walk without sin in the flesh, then you'll be walking under condemnation.
What did it for me in this verse, David, was because I felt that same thing. Hey, when I'm walking after the flesh, you know, and then I'm walking after the Spirit, it's confusing. But what did it for me was just, now there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
That's me.
In Christ Jesus.
That's you.
Was that's yeah, that's prior to the walking after the flesh or after the Spirit.
That's right.
It's in Christ Jesus that made it crystal clear.
That's right. There's no condemnation. Number one, there's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Here, now, in the context of walk, though, daily walk, if you're walking in the flesh or with hope in the flesh or with confidence in the flesh, okay, thank you, Jesus, I'll take it from here. No, you'll get under condemnation immediately because the devil will come and say, look what you didn't do. But when you're walking in the Spirit, that is with hope and faith that Jesus Christ is performing the works in you, and it's not up to you whether you are sinning or not sinning, but what's a matter of for Jesus is for you to worship Him, thank Him, walk with Him, and let Him get rid of the sin and perform good works. Then there's no condemnation. You get convicted of sin, but it's not condemning. Okay, let's finish this over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In meekness, talking to Timothy, that is knowing that it could happen to you. You know, without pride, without haughtiness, without being lifted up above the people. Because that's what he hates those in Revelation. He says he hates the Nicolaitans. Well, you know what the Nicolaitans are? The preachers who lord it over the people as if they're holy, as if they're better. Nico means victory over the people. Yeah. Nicolaitans, laity, like the laity. The laity, like in the Catholic Church, or the, you know, those who are not in the ministry. Laity, ministry. See, there's that separation that the religion has made. Laity, religion, or ministry, or priesthood. So the laity is just the common people in the church. So Nico means victory. So in other words, lord it over the people. Over another place in Peter says, not as lording it over, you should... The minister of God should not lord it over God's flock, but care for them. Yeah, Jesus was calling them that. Yeah, no, he's talking about that specifically, is that those who lord it over the people. Okay, now look here. So, now, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God perhaps will give them repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth. So in other words, God's desire is to give you repentance, is for you to receive it. So you receive and have repentance coming out of your mouth and out of your life. So if you're opposing yourself, that, oh God, oh, repentance, all that means is turn around. Oh my gosh, I had no idea I was opposing myself. Oh, I see it now. I see it like you said. I see it now. I was opposing myself. Thank God. I'm not going to do that anymore. You know. And they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Or and that God would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Bing, light bulb goes off. Oh. And that they may recover themselves. Pick themselves up. Oh, man. Oh, dust themselves off. Recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. If you're opposing yourselves, you're in the snare of the devil because he's got you chasing your tail. You're just running around like, you know, with just chasing your tail. Like when you give that piece of paper to the Aggie. How do you keep an Aggie busy? You know that, right? You give him a piece of paper, it says, turn this over on both sides. And he'd just go and go and go and go, just turn it over. That's what the devil does to you. He'll say, sin, okay, repent, okay, sin, okay, repent, okay, you're doing the same thing. That's right. Right. I love the barracudas. You love the barracudas. Because Jesus loved the barracudas. Remember, his barracudas were the Pharisees. Yeah, well, his were the Pharisees. He had barracudas, amen? Didn't he? Did Jesus have barracudas?
Yes, but
they didn't have these women barracudas. Yeah. Okay, let's finish up. And they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are, this is really something, who are taken captive by him at his will. Ooh. They're taken captive by the devil. In other words, he's got you so well trained. He's got you so well trained. He says, sit, and you sit. That's right. You say boo, you say, how high? Jump, how high? See, these are the people that oppose themselves. That is, they're believing the lies of this world. rather than believing the freedom that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who loves you. It doesn't matter who hates you. All that matters is that you, the fact is that you love them. That's not a command. That's a fact. That's in the indicative. You do love them because you are the same as Jesus.
It doesn't matter if they love you.
Of course not. Did Jesus matter if they love? If he loved, they love him? They hated him, but he loved them, and that's why he died for them. And that's why you die for them, laying down your life. Praise the Lord. Sure, why not? Go ahead, put up with it. And then you would leave them? You would, yeah, no, I don't believe in that. I believe that's hatred of them. All I'm saying is that, you know, God may take them out of your life. That's fine. But what I'm saying is that's God's prerogative. That's God's decision. It just depends on what God says, to be honest with you. It does. It just depends on if God tells you to stay or to move on. That puts it in your court to hear God. Amen? It puts it in your court to hear God. Yeah, God, do you want me to stay here? Or do you want me to move on? Do you want me to bless this person? And you just read the gospel. I tell you what, the best way to find that out, best way, listen, is to read the gospels. Okay? I'm serious. Is to read the gospels, because what that does is show you what Jesus put up with and how he dealt with those. And then that gives you examples, but it obviously doesn't give you specific circumstances that you run into daily. Because our following Jesus is following his example of love. But also, in certain circumstances, Jesus didn't heal everybody. You know, what did he do? You know, some places he just healed one guy. So, the thing of the matter is just hearing Jesus on every episode. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you just lead us and guide us, and you bring us into the knowledge of the truth. You prevent us now from opposing ourselves, from chasing our own tail, from believing what the devil told us, and to prevent us from being taken captive by the devil at his will. So we just worship you tonight. We thank you for the teaching tonight. We ask you, Lord God, to reveal to us those specifics of how daily these things are to be implemented. And we just love you, and we praise you, and we glorify you. Reveal to us your word consistently in the name of Jesus. We just pray tonight for Edie and Jerry, our secretary of Fort Worth, and their financial condition and their vehicle trouble at this point. Father, we just ask you to just bless them. And I just ask, bless Jerry right now and ask you to heal his blood pressure. Just relieve it and redeem it now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. And we give you praise for it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for meeting all of their needs, getting their cars all fixed and in order. We just come against the enemy who's just come against them strongly. We say, we come against you strongly. We command you to loose them now and let them go. In the name of Jesus. Bless our congregation, Lord, here in Dallas and in Fort Worth. Just those who need blessing, need a job, need finances. Father, we ask you to just have them look to your face and to receive from you those things which they need. And we just ask you, Lord God, to just give them hope right now in this hour when it seems tough, that you will just show them that you love them. Thank you for Dan, giving him a job, Lord God, just putting him in the perfect place right now. In the name of Jesus, right now, meeting his needs, in Jesus' name. Thank you for Deanna and her position, Lord God, that you will bless her and cause her to be strengthened, but also to increase her in the place she's in, and also to add to her in meeting those needs that she has. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in this job and also in the others that you may have her participate in. Thank you for blessing Margaret in Houston. Father, I just personally just ask you to just give them a special blessing, and just minister to them and increase them. Father, bless them in their personal life, Lord God, in those things which the enemy has come against them and continually come against them over years, Lord. And I thank you that they are free in the name of Jesus, and strength and joy belongs to them. I just thank you for Jack tonight, Lord God. Just what a faithful servant that you have made him to be, and I just thank you, Lord God, for expanding without overwhelming him, but to expand him in such a way that will be a great benefit, Lord, and not a burden. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Pastor Jim and Peggy and their family, Lord God, bless them, Lord God. Give him wisdom now on everything, especially, amen. Amen. And you?
Hmm.